Wonderful. Wonderful. Jane and I have had the privilege in our last church. We were very much connected to a work in India in a place called Yelambakkam, which is near Chennai. It's about an hour and a half west of Chennai, out into the sticks. And there's a pastor who I linked with at one of the conferences in the UK. And he plucked people out from the tsunami, some young children. And he just gathered probably about 70 or 80 orphans from the tsunami and the streets and planted a work. And we were honored to be able to support him from the church. We went out twice and we also preached into some of the local villages, which seem an awful long way away from. He said, oh, we'll just go down the road to the next village. And the next village is about 3.5 hours away. And some of them had never seen, in the flesh, had never seen a white lady before. And we had the privilege of preaching. The people in India are very conscious of the spiritual world. And please pray for Justin and Charlotte, because there's all sorts of spiritual stuff going on that will be going on against them. We were preaching in one of the villages, and behind the congregation, a whole group of young 30, 40-year-olds stood there. They came out of the darkness and stood there like this, and they were the local Hindu mafia. And the pastor said, now go. And we got into the car, and the people started dismantling the stage that we were on, and it was just... So please understand that is a front line, not just of caring for children, but it's a front line of kingdom. Yes. And so they are open to spirituality. And what we need to do is to pray for them, that the Holy Spirit touches them, because when the Holy Spirit touches them, we were lost in awe and wonder in the worship of these little children as well. And very, very special times to be there. And it's really great to be back here again. We're missing home church for a while. We're away next week from home church as well. Our daughter Sarah is being inducted as assistant pastor in the Salford Elim Church next Sunday, so we'll be there. Then the following weekend, we're down in London. Jane is speaking. It's on Saturday in one of our Elim churches in London, in Clapham, where George Jeffreys was. And then I'm preaching on the Sunday in Lewisham. And then we're back home. And then we're going to be joining with you, hopefully, at your weekend celebration. So we're really loving being with you for this season. We don't know how long it will last, but we do know that we sense God is on it for now. And it's a real privilege for us to serve you in whatever way we can. And that's our heart, to serve the body of Christ. Because we love the Lord and we love his people. And so we're going to be sort of focusing in today on Jubilee. And what is Jubilee? And I remember, I'm old enough to remember the Jubilee, the Great Jubilee in the 50s, but also the Queen's Jubilee. It seems to me in our UK culture and our Western culture that, wow, we're going to have a party. We've managed to get 50 years, like a golden wedding anniversary and things like that. And it seems to me in our Western culture that we're looking back to celebrate what has been. And I think that's a great honorable thing to do. And on the weekend, we'll be looking at some of the incredible things that God has done in the past. And we know there's challenges. Anybody in here reached 50 years of age and not had a challenge? Because if you have, can you please pray for me? That would be really wonderful. But we all have challenges. But God gets us through. And when we have challenge and we rely on the Lord Jesus, He will get us through. He will either get us through it, or he'll get us out of it, but he'll never leave us in it. He's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And so there'll be a celebration of all the things that the faithfulness of God in what has happened over 50 years. But actually, biblically, it's something very different. And I want to have a look and consider what the Bible says about Jubilee. For the Bible, it's more of a reconsidering, but a reset. So just hang on to that word as a reset. We're going to look at some scriptures in Leviticus 25. And we're going to start in verse 3. Leviticus 25 and verse 3. And Leviticus 25 is a whole passage. And we can't deal with all of it today, because what I want to do is to deal with the principle of Jubilee, but then look at the application. Because it's Old Covenant, but there is an application for us as New Covenant believers. And we'll see how that fits as we go. So Leviticus 25 and verse 3 and 4. Because it deals first with the Sabbath. And we need to understand that Jubilee is linked to the Sabbath. So we need to understand, first of all, what is Sabbath, and then what is Jubilee. So verse 3, for 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its fruits. But the seventh year there will be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. And so what it's saying is there's a period of 6 years where you work hard, where you sow and where you reap. But in the seventh year, the things lie fallow and you focus on your relationship to God. And it's a 6 years effort and a seventh year of rest. A 6 years effort. And a seventh year is a rest for the people, for the land, for the crops, for the vineyards. And what is interesting, on that seventh year, you can take the fruit, but you cannot harvest it. It's quite interesting. There's a difference between plucking the grapes for your daily consumption and taking up a harvest. Although not strictly Sabbath, would you go into Genesis chapter 1? Because in Genesis, we find the beginnings of everything. And in the first few chapters of Genesis, you can find most theology. Quite interesting. Because in the first few chapters of Genesis, you can find our reason for being. And our reason for being is to live in a relationship with Father God. Yeah. And under his lordship to minister on the earth. So in the beginning, it's a very good place to start. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. All starts with God, by the way. We are here because it all starts with God. And sometimes our eyes are taken off the importance. We look at church almost as an entity. But we need to realize that it all started from the heart of God for God's glory and for his purposes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was over the earth, the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Oh, I'd love to preach off this one, but never mind. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. I love the sense in the creation story where God spoke And remember, the scripture says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So out of the abundance of God's heart, God's mouth spoke. Because God is love, and you cannot have love in a vacuum. Love needs to be expressed. And so if God is love, he created the earth, he put humanity on it in order to express his love. Because you can't love in a vacuum. Love has to have an object for it to be expressed. Think on that for a moment or two. But God said, and it was. And then we move over to verses 26 and 28. Because we know that on the 6 days, on the 5 days, he created the earth, the heavens, the earth, the animals, and everything else. And then we come to the climax. It's almost as if he created everything else as the stage upon which to place the object of his love. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In India, there were lots of creeping things that crept on the earth as well. We were driving along a road, and the driver stopped, a Hindu driver, and he wouldn't drive on because there was a snake lying in the middle of the road. It was baking in the sun, just being nice. And I said, can we not go? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, it might be my grandmother, because they believe in reincarnation. So he wouldn't drive over his grandmother. We had to wait till the snake left. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created him. And God blessed them. You know, God's purpose is to bless us. And God said to them, so his purpose is to bless us, and then we have a responsibility. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Again, there's a lot we can unpack in that. But what I want to really impress upon us, on the sixth day, God created man. God created Adam. Adam woke up to the seventh day, which was a day of rest. So Adam's first day was not doing, was not working, was not activity, it was rest. And in that rest, he was discovering his relationship with Father God. You see, we are created, my friends, to work from rest, not to rest from work. And when I say rest, I don't mean sitting down watching cricket on the telly. Because that's not restful at all. Not when we're playing Australia. Rest means a sense where we're not active, we're not doing things, but we're just existing and focusing in the calmness and the quietness of our relationship with the living God. That's what Sabbath is all about, the seventh day. And so on the seventh day, we rest. So Adam's existence began on a rest day. And sometimes we need to find that we work much more effectively from resting on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath should be the first day. And so many of us today are working and stressed so much. Can I just say that stress and anxiety in your place of occupation, I see as part of the fall. I'm not going to get around to this. Because by the sweat of your brow, after the fall, God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you shall live. You see, there's a difference between work and toil. Work is the activity we do in the blessing of God. Toil is what we do in our own strength. Another time, perhaps. So spending time with Father was the first day. That's why I love the sense of Proverbs 4. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Or in the New Living, I think it says, everything you do springs from it. So the key is to get our hearts right with God, to spend rest with him. You know, I mentioned Jafanu the other day, last time I was here, about living before his face. And Pauline, I think, said that you'd had that sense before. And I'm experiencing a new phase in my life of living before his face. And that's really what the Sabbath is all about, living with a conscious relationship with the Lord. So guard your heart with all diligence. First, get your heart right. And then out of your heart, what you do will flow. Isaiah, we can't go into that. Verse 32 says, they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so there's both a principle and a benefit from rest. So how does that link then with Jubilee? So let's go back into Leviticus 25 and we're going on to verse 8. So we're 6 days, 6 years, 6 days, or 6 years, or whatever the length of time is, and then the seventh. And so Leviticus 25 verse 8, you shall count 7 weeks of years. In other words, 7 years. 7 times 7 years. So that the time of the 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet, the shofar. We got a shofar in this house. Wonderful. Because we need that on the 22nd. Then you shall sound the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the trumpet throughout all the land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year. This is the year of Jubilee. And proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It should be a Jubilee for you, when each of you shall return to his property and each of you shall return to his clan. So it's a reset. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of itself, nor gather the grapes from the undressed vines. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy to you, but you may eat of the produce of the land. We'll unpack that. But it starts with 7 times 7, 49, and in the 50th year. In the 50th year, it's almost like Sabbath on steroids. Because in the Jubilee year, you have a whole year where all you can do, the whole land, is reset. The people who have been sold into slavery are redeemed. If you've been in servitude to another family, you return back to your original family. If your property is in mortgage to somebody else, then on the 50th year, it's released and you get your property back. That would be a good thing. So it's a total reset for the whole of the nation. Slaves are released. If you couldn't pay your debts and you've been sold into slavery, doesn't necessarily be Whipton. It means that you are an unpaid servant to somebody until you can repay your debt. You can have one of your family can pay your debt. That's why Jesus is a kinsman redeemer. Yeah. Wonderful. But if nobody can pay your debt, then on the year of Jubilee, you're set free. Wonderful. You come back home. Jubilee is a coming back home. Everything was valued up to the year of Jubilee. In other words, if you had a debt in the first year after Jubilee, then your debt was 49. Any mathematicians, please don't get me wrong here. But if you were in servitude for 25 years, then you would be half your debt. So on the 48th year, your debt would be a 49th of the original. Does that make sense? So if I'm a slave, my value is based upon the amount of time I have left in servitude. Fiftieth year, restored. Families are restored. Imagine if one of your family had been sold into slavery and for 15 years and then on Jubilee came back. That person you haven't seen for 15 years, you'd have to get to know them again. You have to restore your family. You have to work together. Oh, but you are blood, brothers. You're bought. You're mine. You're in my family. So let's begin to understand each other again. Let's begin to live together again. It's a whole reset in the land and in relationships. Slaves are set free. Captives are set free. Land is returned to its original ownership. Property, debt is released. That's an incredible principle. Redemption, restoration, and rest. In Jubilee, the slate was wiped clean. How would you like to have a Jubilee year this year? Anybody with a mortgage on your house? Anybody like to have a Jubilee this year? Anybody with finance on their car? Anyone like to have a Jubilee? Who would like to have a Jubilee this year? Oh, wonderful. Do you owe anybody a debt? How about a Jubilee? How does this affect us today? How does this affect us today? I'm going to go into Luke chapter 4. Because we read the story in Luke, we read the story of Jesus coming to John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In other words, something is going to be taken away and counted as no debt. Jesus is baptized. A voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus then is led by the Spirit into the wilderness and tempted of the devil on his identity, as God said. Yes, God has said. And then he comes back into his hometown, into the synagogue, and we're going to pick it up in Luke 14, in Luke 4, verse 14. This is linked back into Isaiah 61, which is a whole restoration. And if we read the Bible with a Jubilee mentality, a restoration mentality, debt set free mentality, relationships restored mentality, all prisoners set free mentality, we really understand Jubilee. and we'll understand the heart of God. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. Everybody knows you, where you've been brought up. I was brought up in Oxton on the Wirral. Everybody was my auntie or my uncle. I didn't know, they weren't related, but they were set free to give me a clip around the ear if they found me doing something wrong. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written. We should all know this off by heart, folks. This is our mandate. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to preach liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed. Does it sound a bit like Jubilee? Yeah. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is a reference to the year of Jubilee. Jesus is our Jubilee. When we come to Jesus, our debts, not our monetary debts, we're slaves to sin, but in Christ we're set free. Our sins are forgiven. We are restored back to our original family relationship. Hello, Father God. Set free. And now I'm back home. I love the sense of when I gave my life to Christ, I came back home. I came home to my Father. But having come home to my Father, because I'd been estranged, I'd been away for a long time, 34 years to be precise, I had to learn how to relate to him. I had to learn how to live in the family of God. See, Jubilee may be a reset, but it's not the end of 50 years. It's the start of a whole new existence. It's the beginning of something new. I think we're so excited to be with Family Church, Billinge, on your 50th year, your year of Jubilee, when even though you've had great times, you've had tough times, you had great times, you had tough times, this is a reset. This is a time where all debts are released, where anything you feel people owe you, you've done this to me, you've done that to me, could be a debt, release them. Release them unto God. You see, nothing was owned except by God. Everything was released back to its original owner. Our lives come back to God. We reset. We relearn how to live with him. We relearn how to live with each other. Jubilee is such a wonderful opportunity. Yeah, we'll have cakes. Yeah, we'll have games. Yeah, we'll have all of the fun of the fair. But if that's all it means, we've lost it. It's a reset, a restart. Freedom, for Christ has set us free. He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Oh, I love the fact that today Jesus has sat down. I had this phrase a few weeks ago. It's completed, and he's seated, and the enemy is defeated. Because now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. All that he came to do has been fulfilled. We now have to learn to live in it. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today, Jesus was saying at that moment, this is your jubilee. This is your time of freedom. This is the time of release. This is the time of a new start. This is a time of relational rebuilding. This is the time. You see, the anointing is always unto something. The anointing of God is to help us to represent him on the earth. We don't need help to do our own thing, but we do need his anointing to do his thing. The year of the Lord's favor. Redemption, restoration, and rest. I love that old hymn. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who has a go like me his praise to sing? Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King. Fantastic. I get so excited. These things stir my spirit. Do I have pain in my body? Yes. Am I getting old? Yes. But can I just tell you, my spirit is renewed like the eagles. Are circumstances around us difficult? Sometimes, yes. But I have to choose to fix my eyes on Jesus rather than my circumstances. Do I deny my circumstances? No. Because sometimes they are giants. Sometimes, like Caleb and Joshua, we need to see the situation in truth and reality. But we need to see the God who is looking after us, who has promised us a land bigger than the difficulty ahead of us. Some of us lock our eyes onto the difficulty. That it says, when you hear these signs, look up, for your salvation is nigh. Where you're looking determines the outcome. The year of the Lord's favor. All debts paid. Anything owed to another is forgiven. Prisoners set free. Everything restored to its original owner. I owe nobody anything. And nobody owes me anything. How about that? Are you holding things against people this morning? Well, can I just say, Jesus is your jubilee. Let it go. In Christ, we live in an ongoing jubilee. Release. Release. You own nothing. Nothing. We have no right to hold things over another person because that person belongs to God. Yeah. And Jesus has declared a jubilee over their lives. This is what Christianity is all about. If you read your Bible as a whole, this is what Jesus came to do. To deal with the sin and the division and the stress and the anxiety of the fall and the prisoners of the fall. Jesus has declared a jubilee year for us to live in all the time. In fact, the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, if we can get to it. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, I rather like to think of it as the disciples' prayer as taught by Jesus. Because it's a prayer he told his disciples to pray. And can I just say, it's a prayer of jubilee. When we read it, it's a year of jubilee. Our Father in heaven, everything belongs to him, by the way. Hallowed be your name. Everything submits to your name, Father God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. His will is that the prisoners be set free. His will was encompassed in Jesus. And Jesus came to set the captives free. On earth, as it is in heaven. Are there any prisoners in heaven? Are there any bad relationships in heaven? Are there grumpy people sitting in the back row? No, sorry, I don't mean any of you. Bless me if you dare. Sometimes when you're preaching, you can sense that. Our Father. Guys, we're back home. We were slaves to sin. Now we're back home. As family together. Redeemed, restored, ransomed, healed. We're living in jubilee. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, you couldn't harvest on jubilee. You just went out like they did with the manna and collected enough for the day. God supplies our every need. Are you worried about tomorrow? We all have concerns. But there's a difference between being concerned and being anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. It's one thing to look at what's coming and think, how are we going to get through that? That's one thing, but then going into deep anxiety and stress and, oh, I can't cope because this is happening. In everything, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Philippians 4, by the way. And the God of peace will guard both your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Your heart and your mind. That 18 inches that need to connect. Sometimes our mind tells us you shouldn't be anxious. The scripture says don't be anxious. Our heart is saying, oh, I'm anxious. And we condemn ourselves because there's tension inside of us. But when we submit everything to the Lord, our head and our heart, then the peace of God will guard it for you. Forgive us our debts. Debts are set free in jubilee. As we forgive those or forgive our debtors. No, I know. I know there's things that relational issues that have been raised up. There's always going to be relational issues in any group of people. But when we realize that Jesus is our jubilee and we're called to live in that freedom, then you see, we don't take offense. Do you know, you can give offense without meaning it, but you can't take offense without meaning it. One of my churches, a lady came up to me after the meeting, said, Pastor, I forgive you. I said, well, what for? What for? What have I done? My mind is going, what have I done? What have I done? She said, last week, she said, you came in and you were going into the hall and you passed me and you didn't say hello. I can't remember what was going on, but I didn't mean to ignore her. But she could have thought, oh, Pastor's eyes are focused on what's going to happen next. She took offense. I didn't mean to. Folks, when people do things to you, say things to you, release them right there and then. Because anything that is you receive will fester in your heart. In your heart. It'll fester. Let's live in jubilee. This is not just a principle, this is a practice. We learn to live together like families are being scattered around the nation into slavery. We all come together and we learn together. Lead us not into temptation. Then in verse 14 it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. That is really not in terms of a punishment. That's saying, just don't hold unforgiveness. Just don't hold unforgiveness. For what you sow, you reap. It's another thing. So firstly, in Christ, we've been forgiven of our sins, redeemed from slavery. I said to a lady, we had a wrestling tournament at CLC last night. A wrestling church from Bradford. They come and put a ring up in the middle and they have this wrestling tournament. And then they preach the gospel on the back of that. I was on the desk getting everybody in. So I left after everybody was in because I had to continue preparing for this morning. So I didn't see it. But one of the guys was living in a skip. And God reached out to him and saved him. And that's part of his testimony. He gives his testimony at the end and people get saved. But I was talking to one of these wrestling people on their team, standing at the door waiting. And I said, are you part of this sort of church side of this? And she said, oh, yes. I said, well, what do you hear of the testimony? And she said, oh, I've heard it lots and lots of times. So I said, yeah, but have you heard it with your heart and not just your ears? She looked at me. I said, oh. I said, have you heard how much you are worth? She said, what do you mean? I said, if you were standing here and our late queen was standing next to you, who would be more valuable? Oh, she would, of course. She would be my, I'm worthless, she said. I said, can I just tell you, you're exactly the same value as our late queen. She said, how can that be? I said, because the purchase price for both of you is the blood of Jesus. Oh, she said, I'll have to think about that. You see, nobody is higher or lower than anybody else. We're all the family, sons and daughters, worth exactly the same. And so we have a benefit from Jubilee and we have a responsibility towards Jubilee. To be forgiven and to forgive. To be released and to release. So Family Church Billinge. I love the name family. It really speaks of the heart of God. Sons and daughters. God the Father. It all speaks of family. There's an opportunity here for a reset. A reset. A reset of liberty. A reset of releasing and of being released. A reset of learning how to live together again as family. That's what Jubilee is all about. Owing nobody and nobody owing you. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting is worshipping. It doesn't mean wait, like you wait for the bus. It means ministering unto the Lord. Not just in worship, but in action and in deed. If you love me, Jesus says, you'll obey my commandments. Wait on the Lord. Worship at his feet. Wonder at his majesty, at his glory, at his grace, at his mercy, and live in his peace. I love that word peace. The word shalom. It's not a passive word. It means the power of the blessing of God and the well-being of God come upon you. Everything that God has for you, I release to you. That's what peace means. That's what shalom means. When we say shalom to somebody, we're saying, I'm praying that the whole well-being of God, spirit, soul, and body, would come upon you. In a moment, we're going to take up, we're going to have communion, break bread, whatever it is. Tanel's going to lead us in that. But this is a family meal. It is an inclusive meal. You know, some people think, well, I'm not right with somebody, therefore I can't take bread. No, this is an opportunity for reset. The scripture says, if you have an issue with your brother, first get the issue right, then come and eat. First, have a reset. First, release the Jubilee blessing of freedom over somebody else. And I just want to release the blessing, the Aaronic blessing over you now before we take communion. My prayer is that you'll catch something in your heart about Jubilee. Celebrate 50 years of God's faithfulness, but look towards the year that is to come as a year of reset, of reconciliation, of restoration, and of rest. So the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you, Family Church Billings. And may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. Jephanu, beholder, living before your face. May you really have a revelation of the glory of God in his face, looking at you and blessing you. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. In Jesus' name, amen.